Amen. Well, hey, I don't know if you guys know this or not. I don't know. Certainly the last couple of weeks, maybe the last several years being your pastor, but how many guys are starting to realize that I kind of don't like chicken? Is anybody getting that impression so far? Yeah, just a little bit, okay. Now, for those of you who think I'm being a little bit too extreme on this issue, okay, I got some proof, right, that this is a serious concern of mine, okay, and it should be of yours as well. Now, I'm going to share with you a video. Now, I wasn't looking for this. I actually had somebody send this to me, but this video is eye-opening. This shows where those things, chickens, really come from, okay, and all I got to say, folks, is it's scary, it's creepy, they are not of this world. Okay, watch this. I kid you not. Ready? I told you. How many times do we got to go through this? Those things are freaky. They're scary. Man, and I wasn't even looking for that one. Okay. But believe it or not, guys, did you know that there's something else the Bible says you really do need to be concerned about? It's really scary, okay? In all seriousness, probably, unfortunately, even worse than chicken, if you can believe that. But it's this time frame, okay? And this is God speaking here. Revelation chapter 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from his throne saying, "It is done." You don't want to be there when God basically says, that's it. Right, and that's what's going on here. Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. Listen, no earthquake like it has ever occurred since man has been on earth. So tremendous was the quake. The great city split into three parts. The cities of the nations collapsed. Every island fled away, and the mountains on the whole planet could not be found. From the sky, huge hailstones of about 100 pounds each fell upon men, and they cursed God on account of the plague of the hail because the plague was so terrible. Now, if you guys don't realize, that is the seven-year tribulation. That's towards the end. It's all bad, but basically it just gets worse as you go, okay? And the Bible's very clear. That is some place you don't want to be a part of, amen? That is something that should scare you straight to Jesus Christ if you're not saved. The Bible says that the seven-year tribulation is not only coming, folks, it is horrible. It is an outpouring of God's wrath on this planet, not one, not two, not three, but 7 years nonstop. Okay? A lot of people say, well, if God's so loving, why is this all evil? Doesn't he do something? He's going to do something about it. But the reason why he has not started the seven-year tribulation and pronounced judgment on this planet because of the sin and the evil and the wickedness that people talk about is because he's given you time to repent. But one day the hammer's coming down, and it's going to be too late. You don't want to wait that long. Jesus said that the seven-year tribulation is going to be the worst time in the history of mankind. So horrible that unless God shortened that time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. That is scary. And it's real. And because God loves us, he tells us this in advance. Amen. He's not just a God of wrath. He's a God of love as well. He gives us so many warning signs so that we would not make that horrible mistake and end up in the seven-year tribulation, let alone hell itself. And so in honor of that, we're going to continue in our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. That the first sign we're dealing with in our study is the Jewish people and the Antichrist, right? And so far we've seen the first eight future prophecies concerning the Jewish people. It's God's way of letting us know, hey, you're living the last days. Not going to tell you the day nor the hour, but you better get motivated. It's getting close. And there we saw those eight prophecies, of course. Israel would return to the land. They become a nation again. They become a nation in one day. Israel would become a united nation. All the 12 tribes coming back together again. They would even recapture Jerusalem, 1967. Their currency would return to the shekel, 1980. There'd be a rebirth of the Hebrew language, and last time that Israel would blossom as a rose in the desert. And that's what we saw last time, just as Isaiah the prophet prophesied nearly 2,800 years ago, approximately, the once barren desert wasteland that was, listen, filled with mosquitoes and malaria, where pilgrims went and died. That's how bad it was, okay, after 2,000 years, okay. Now it's become the breadbasket of the Middle East. In our lifetime, as we sit here, folks, they have gone from being a desert wasteland to, listen, one of the world's leaders of agriculture. They went from having virtually no trees to 1.2 billion trees. And now, just like Isaiah said, specifically so, Israel doesn't just have flowers in the desert. Israel is now one of the major flower exporters on the planet from the desert. Okay, and they're flowing with the land of milk and honey. Milk comes from cows. And even that was true. Let's just close in prayer. No, let's just move on. That's awesome, okay? Now, what I want to share with you, we've seen this before, but I want to explain where this came from, okay? We've just seen 8 prophecies in Israel, right? For those of you hooked on math and who actually paid attention this morning, right? 8 prophecies just concerning the Jewish people. The odds of that, it's impossible to have them a chance, okay? And that came from this guy. This guy was Peter Stoner. He's the chairman of mathematics and astronomy, Pasadena City College. He's the professor of emeritus of science at Westmont College in Santa Barbara, California. He wrote this book. It's called Science Speaks, okay, about how the Bible prophecy proves that Jesus had to be truly God in the flesh, okay? And he calculated the probabilities of just 8 messianic prophecies being fulfilled just in the life of Jesus. Such as, you know, we're familiar with these. The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. The Messiah will enter Jerusalem riding on a donkey, Zechariah 9:9. The Messiah will be betrayed specifically for 30 pieces of silver, Zechariah 11:12, etc., etc. So he just took 8 of those, did the math on that, and he determined that 8 prophecies being fulfilled in the life of one person, hence Jesus, was 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Well, that doesn't sound like much, but when you extrapolate that, that is 1 in 100 quadrillion. Now, even that's a big number, but we still don't understand just how big of a number that is. So he developed mathematically an illustration to describe what is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. He says, imagine filling the state of Texas knee-deep in silver dollars, including this huge number, 1 silver dollar with a black check mark on it. Turn a person blindfold them, then turn them loose in the whole sea of silver dollars, okay? The odds that that person, the first coin they would pick up would be the black check mark. That's the odds. The same odds of 8 prophecies being fulfilled in the life of Jesus. It's impossible, okay? And for people to say, oh, it's just by accident. No, it wasn't. It's ridiculous, okay? Now, keep in mind, Jesus didn't fulfill just 8. Over 300, folks. Okay, so add to that one. In fact, he says, just bring it up to 16. That's 1 in 10 to the 45th power. You get to just 48. And again, he did over 300. That's 1 in 10 to the 157th power. It becomes so huge you can't even calculate. It's just crazy, right? The details, he said, marks the word of God as it inspired from God. Only God could foreknow and accomplish all that was written about Jesus being the Messiah. And this historical accuracy and reliability sets the Bible apart from any other book or record. Now, that's a whole other side effect of teaching on Bible prophecy, which comes from the Bible, okay, one of the spillover effects is it drives that point home. This book, the Bible, had to come from God because only God can predict the future in such great detail. It's impossible for these to happen by chance. Only God could author it. And yet, churches today refuse to teach on prophecy. And is it any wonders we've been seeing on Wednesday nights? Half of the professing church today in America does not believe in the absolute authority of this book. Maybe you need to get back to preaching prophecy, and that shows you there's no way. There's something special about the Bible, okay? But here's my whole point in bringing that up. That was 8 prophecies being fulfilled in the life of Jesus, right? State of Texas, full of silver dollars, blindfolded guy. That's right. What have we just seen? We have seen so far how many 8 prophecies in what? The one Jewish people. So that's my whole point. If you think that's amazing in the life of Jesus, it's just as amazing when it comes to the Jewish people, right? And folks, that's just 8. Man, we're just getting started, right? We've got way more to go. But just what we've seen so far, you think this is happening by chance? Israel becoming a nation again and one day united, recapture Israel? No way! It's God's way of saying, hey, just like with Jesus. By giving you enough proof now, this is not natural. This is supernatural. Only God can know this from the beginning to end, okay? But that's not all. The 9th one we're going to take a look at, the Jewish people letting us know we're living in the last days, is that Israel will become a what? A light unto the nations. But as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's. Isaiah chapter 42, that's our opening text. Let's go ahead and turn there. Isaiah chapter 42, okay? We're going to take a look at verses 5 and 6 as our opening text. Isaiah chapter 42, 5 through 6. Let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. But how is Israel going to play an important part on the world scene in the last days? Well, God's going to give us a little nugget here, and we're going to see, Lord willing, a couple other passages that go along with this. Right? Isaiah 42, 5 through 6. Let's go ahead and see what he says. Now, this is what's cool. I love this verse. This is what the Lord God says. And then it's almost like, I really want you to understand that this is coming from God. So pay attention. This is what the Lord God says. In case you don't believe me, he who what? Who created the heavens and stretched them out. Yeah, that's from God. And who what? Who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it. Yeah, only God could do that. Who gives breath to his people and life to those who walk on it. In other words, this is God. You got it? Pay attention. And here's what he says is coming with Israel one day. I, the Lord, have called you Israel in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a what? A light for the Gentiles. Skip down to verse 9. Listen to this. See, the former things have taken place and new things I declare before they what? Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. You may be seated. That's the benefit, again, of Bible prophecy. God demonstrates he's the author of the Bible because he announces things before they happen in great minute detail. And certainly, as we just saw, again, with the Jewish people. Now, it says there in our translation, it says they're a light to the Gentiles. It's the Hebrew word goyim. Okay, and it literally means nations. And that's why some of your translations you might have just read, and it says they're a light unto the nations. That's literally what the Hebrew word means, okay? And so here we see that in the last days, God says he's not just going to be honoring the covenant of the Jewish people. We saw that before. He says that I'm going to, and again, put it in its context, I'm going to take Israel, little bitty, teeny tiny Israel, a mere speck on the world scene, and I'm going to announce this before it happens. Little teeny tiny Israel, believe it or not, is going to become a major light, a major luminary source of blessing to the nations, to the planet. Israel? Little teeny tiny? Yeah. In fact, that's not the only time that Isaiah mentions this prophecy. Let's take a look at a couple other. Isaiah 49 verse 6, he says, is it too small a thing, God speaking, that you, Israel, should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel? Right? He's calling them back. Is that too small? He says, I'm going to do something else too. I'm also going to make you a what? Light of the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Isaiah 60, 2 and 3. But the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. Nations, Israel, will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Okay, so not once, but more than once. But repeatedly, God says, Israel, even though they're small, even though they're seemingly insignificant, it's just a tiny little piece of real estate. Believe it or not, here's a sign. I'm going to announce it before it happens. Israel will become a light to the nations. He says that repeatedly. In fact, it is such an obvious prophecy that, listen, even the secular Jewish people, even their secular leaders, even Benjamin Netanyahu, they know that their destiny, biblically, is to be a light unto the nations. They say it all the time. We might not be familiar with it, but they are. But let's take a look at that as well.
In just a few weeks, Israel will celebrate its 70th anniversary. Here's a look back at where the infant state of Israel was in 1948, where it is today, and how it's fulfilling ancient prophecies. On May 14, 1948, Israel took its place among the nations when David Ben-Gurion announced the establishment of the Jewish state.
What was the situation in May 1948? When, you know, we were 600,000 people here, about half the size of a mid-sized American city, with basically handguns fighting six Arab armies that came within 25 miles of Tel Aviv, by the way. It's hard to imagine today. That surrounded Jerusalem, not far from where we're sitting. No economy, no allies, a population that was still languishing in displaced person camp in Europe after the Holocaust. I mean, think about that.
70 years later, Israel not only survived, but thrived.
Our economy has one of the highest growth rates in the world. We have one of the most powerful armies in the world, world leader in technology. Israel is regularly listed one of the 7th or 8th most powerful countries in the world. In a historical perspective, I think that Israel's situation is nothing less short of miraculous.
Israel's continuing miracle is not only that it's thrived, but now helps nations in need.
Because we're a light unto the nations. That's the great fulfillment of that great prophecy. And in fact, that's what Israel is doing. It's doing it in places like Haiti or in the Philippines or in Mexico.
When Israel sent aid to Mexico after their recent devastating earthquake, Mexicans applauded them on the streets.
They just love Israel. And you see that in elsewhere, in many places around the world. And people say, well, what do you do? I mean, what is it that you get out of it? And the answer is, we're not getting out of it anything. We're fulfilling our deepest values. Israel is a light unto the nation.
Whether helping the world through humanitarian outreach, bringing innovation to global investors, or being the responsible stewards of history, These are simply a fulfillment of Israel's mission to the world. Tikkun Olam, the Jewish principle of repairing the world. And as the Hebrew prophet Isaiah wrote nearly 2,700 years ago, to be a light to the nations.
Seems like it's happening right now as we sit here in the sanctuary. And what I like about that is that's their current, obviously, prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. They quote this all the time. They know this verse. They know the significance of it. But how many of us do? Okay? Isaiah prophesied this nearly 2,800 years ago, roughly. And it's happening. Now, again, for those of us who don't realize just how significant this is, it's one thing to say it, and it's one thing to say, well, they're helping out people in Mexico. It's way beyond that. I'm talking about just about every sphere of influence to, if you will, the betterment of mankind and society. Israel is a major part of that. Not just a tiny piece, a major part in that. And so I wanted to demonstrate that with you. How is Israel, in fact, a light and a luminary source of blessing to the nations? Well, let's begin to take it apart. Obviously, I can't share everything, but let me just hit some highlights for you, right? First of all, there's over 6,000 startups currently in Israel in the areas of mathematics, science, robotics, chemistry, physics, optics, medicines, economics, biotech, computer science, hardware, software, mobile software, defense, agriculture, breeding, energy, consumer goods, appliances, games, food, drink, entertainment, physical, exercise, you name it, they're involved in it. And they're not just involved in it, they are at the cutting edge of major inventions that are being a blessing to the planet, okay? In fact, a lot of them we use today, we don't even know they came from Israel, okay? Let me share just a few of those things for you. In case you guys read on the back of your granola bar today, now it's answered. They're the ones who came up with the prediction of quarks. You can go to sleep tonight. You just found that out. That came from Israel, okay? The formulation of black holes with their science inventions. Listen, they also came up with nanowire. That's a conductive wire made of string of tiny particles of silver 1,000 times thinner than a human hair, okay? A great invention came from Israel. They also developed the smallest DNA computing machine, which is the smallest biological computing device ever constructed, is coming from Israel. They also invented this thing, medical inventions, not just science inventions. This one's called ReWalk. It's a bionic walking assistance and enables paralegics to walk again. Okay, watch this. This is really cool. Cool. Major advancement from Israel, medical invention. But that's the tip of the iceberg. They also developed a robotic guidance system used for spine surgery, came from them. The discovery of quasi-crystals. They also discovered the role of the protein ubiquitin, if you're familiar with that. Also, the world's smallest camera, which has led to what's called the pill cam. Listen to this, men. No more do you have to have a colonoscopy. Yes, I have to share this with you. Watch this.
After 9 years, the U.S. FDA has approved PillCam, an ingestible pill able to help doctors detect colon cancer or polyps in patients who struggle with a traditional colonoscopy. PillCam is a pill equipped with two miniature color video cameras that a patient swallows while wearing a recording device around the waist for 10 to 12 hours. During an 8-hour trip through the intestines and colon, PillCam captures images while transmitting them to the recording device. The images are sent to a computer screen, enabling a doctor to detect colon polyps and cancer.
Wow. All right, let's just get her done because I know you want to do it. All you men 50 years and older, turn to somebody and say, I love Israel. I love them. Isn't that awesome, man? Great invention. That's still. They also developed a notation system for the early recording of autism. They developed a drug that is helping for Parkinson's disease, another drug that's helping with multiple sclerosis. All this is coming from Israel, folks. They've also developed a device called BabySense. That's a device to help prevent crib death. That's just science and medical. And that's not all of them. I'm just giving you some highlights. Agriculture, they're the ones who invented the drip irrigation system. Parents, they're the ones who came up with the hamster. I kid you not. I didn't know this. The hamster, they call it the golden hamster, was first domesticated by the Hebrew University of Jerusalem in 1930. My theory is that's how they got rid of their rats. We took them as pets. No, I'm just kidding. But the hamster as a pet came from Israel. Isn't that wild? Hybrid cucumber seeds, all kinds of cutting-edge technology with those things. Grain cocoons to help keep grain market fresh. That's being used all over the world. Biological pest control. They help breed insects to fight insects instead of having to use chemicals. Major inventions of that. A kibbutz base called Acol, a company that helps farmers get top-level information. A member we saw last week, they work together. They share their information, right? And so things of that nature, and that helps the advancements go. Reusable plastic trays. There's these square things with grooves in it. They put it at the base of trees. Watch this. That collects dew from the air, and it reduces the need to water crops up by 50%. 50%, just that one invention. That came from Israel. They're using it all the time. Zero discharge system. It's an invention that you can now basically raise fish farms anywhere you want. Don't have to worry about the environmental hazards that go along with that. That came from Israel. As we saw last week, the video clip, the Judean date palm, that's the oldest seed ever revived. They found it there at Masada. They brought that tree back from 2,000 years ago. That came from Israel. The cherry tomato. Did you know that? The cherry tomato came from Israel, for those of you hooked on salads, right? How about energy? Of course, they're a major producer of energy. We saw desalination plants. That's the tip of the iceberg. They're the ones who invented rooftop solar hot water system, super ion batteries, very efficient, environmentally friendly. They're the ones who came up with the electric car grid, Ormat technology that designs, develops, builds, owns, manufactures, and operates geothermal power plants worldwide. They're doing it in more than 20 countries, all started from Israel. Pythagoras Solar, this is cool. I wish I could, I'm just hitting the highlights. This is actually a solar window that's actually see-through. Right, you get solar. How many of you guys realize that if you put a solar panel on your front windshield of your car, that's dangerous? You might save a few bucks on electricity, but you're going to crash. Right? But this is actually see-through. See-through windows, but it works as a solar device. Absolutely phenomenal. Right? They're the ones that developed that. 3G solar, that's another one that's much more, instead of going from the traditional silicon base, it's more efficient with the per kilowatt hour. Leviathan energy, that's a wind, tulip energy. It's effective, silent. It catches it from every direction, not losing a bit of the wind there. The epilator, remember that? You guys remember that thing? This came from Israel. Remember, it's called the epilady? And for those of you men who don't realize this, it's an electrical device used to remove hair by mechanically grasping multiple hairs, simultaneously pulling them out for the ladies. Now, it was developed by this place and manufactured at Kibbutz HaGroshim. And we saw Kibbutz was the farming community. So I'm not going to try to read too much into this like I did with the hamster thing, but you're thinking, why would they have this hair device? I grew up in the Midwest on farms. And some of my relatives, my great aunts and stuff, those ladies. I don't know. Maybe that. Yeah, hey, they say that necessity is the mother of all inventions. Maybe that's why the farming over there. I don't know. But that's where the epilady came from. That's the Chrome theory. That's free. That's free for you today. You will not find that in the back of your granola bar. Let's move on. The Wonder Pot. Right? Oh, we got to have the Wonder Pot, right? That actually came from Israel, for those of you who don't realize that. Micronized coating, instant hot water pipes came from them. Leica fish. This is cool. I couldn't believe this. I didn't even know this was real. It's an air supply system that extracts air from the water. You don't need a scuba tank anymore, right? This is a similar device. This is not the Leica fish, but it's a similar device. I found a video. But this is what it allows you to do. This is cool. Watch this one. We'll be right back. a couple more months to Christmas, you know what to get. Especially in the, here in the desert. But whatever, you can give it to them anyway. But anyway, isn't that cool? You can breathe underwater. But again, they've come up with what's called Leica fish. Turbulence, this is kind of cool, entertainment thing. The world's first hyper-narrative interactive movie that allows the viewer to choose the direction of the film's plot by pressing buttons on the different device there. Isn't that cool? Wouldn't you like to have that? That ain't how it's supposed to go. Isn't that weird? How many of you guys would like to have one of those for life? Yeah, that would be kind of cool. But that's consumer goods. Also games. Come up with the Rumu Cube, if you ever played that. That came from Israel. Hidato Taki, that's a card game. Mastermind, that's a board game. Guess who? Well, guess who invented that? Came from Israel. Computer inventions. They basically were there with IBM starting the craze. They're the ones, Israel, for you computer folks who know this, they developed the Intel 8088 chip, man. Remember that back in the day? That was the one that basically helped start the revolution. That came from Israel and Haifa. ICQ, remember that back in the day when the internet was starting to get off? The messaging software. 1996 came from an Israel company. It was bought out by AOL, okay? But Israel's the one who invented that. The first voice over internet protocol, VoIP, that's basically your internet phone. Guess who invented that? That came from Israel. Quictionary, electronic dictionary, this is cool. A pin-sized scanner able to scan words, phrases, and immediately translate them into other languages as you're scanning. That's really cool. That came from Israel. Laser keyboard, that's the virtual keyboard that you can project on a wall or you know, things of that nature. That came from Israel as well. The USB flash drive, who doesn't have one of those, okay? Believe it or not, that came from Israel. Let's take a look at that as well.
So this week also saw Prime Minister Modi's visit to Israel and in the process making history by becoming the first Indian Prime Minister to do so. Therefore, we decided to celebrate this milestone by getting you the top tech innovations from Israel, a country known for making great inventions. In fact, did you know that the USB flash drive was invented in Israel?
That's right, Israel invented the USB flash drive. You know, that little stick of joy that can store all your documents, files, and movies. Probably used by everyone on the planet, it's surely one of the most useful inventions out there. In the year 2000, the first USB was sold. At that time, it only had 8 MB capacity and went on to quickly replacing CDs.
Wow. I still have a 256K flash drive. That obviously I don't use for nothing anymore. But anyway, that's right. They come out with another device called U-Move, and that's the key word. U-Move, they're gonna find you. That's a tracking device for face and eye tracking. We See You, that's another one that's actually being implemented around airports worldwide. Came from Israel to spot terrorists and things of that nature came from them. Get Taxi, that's an app that you can get a taxi now. Straight off your smartphone or their website came from them. Mobileye, this is cool. This is basically, now you're starting to see car makers come out with this. Basically, it gives you advanced knowledge when you're getting ready to not just something in front, but the side and whatever. That was developed by Israel. It's called Mobileye. Let's take a look at that as well.
Rear-end collisions are one of the most common accidents caused by driver inattention. The Mobileye system continuously scans the area in front of your vehicle, detecting all types of vehicles in your path, including motorcycles. The system calculates the relative speed and, in critical situations, issues both a visual and auditory warning of an impending collision with the vehicle ahead. The system can provide a warning of up to 2.7 seconds before impact, both during city and highway driving.
Wow. Hey, how many guys have a spouse that could use Mobileye right now? Go ahead, right? Right? Now, those of you, actually, I can't believe you did it, but you raise your hand, you're going to have a black eye when you get back out to the parking lot there. But hey, if you do get a black eye, then you could use this next invention. It's called OrCam, my eye. It's for those people, I kid you not. Listen to this. For those who are visually impaired, it actually will help identify through audio feedback, it'll describe what you're seeing, right? And that's a cool device that came from Israel. Waze, this is a GPS app for smartphones. Not only will it tell you where you're going, your map and all that stuff, but it's interactive. You could even hit it and tell if there's an accident and minute-by-minute update, tell people how far you're away. In fact, it's such a good device that Google bought it. Google, if you're not familiar, that's a whole other topic. They by and large don't invent stuff anymore. They just got so much money, they buy these startup companies. and swallow them up. But they Google bought this app for $1.1 billion. It's used right now in over 100 countries, and it came from Israel. Let's take a look at that.
With Waze, you always get the fastest route, based on real-time traffic shared by millions of fellow Wazers. Navigating is super easy. All your destinations are one tap away. Once on the road, you'll be alerted before you approach incidents. You can help others, too, by simply driving with Waze. You share real-time traffic information, or you can actively report. Oh, and when you're meeting others, simply send your ETA to inform on your arrival.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I mean, you guys got that app. But basically, you put all this together. Again, I'm just hitting highlights. We can be here all day for this stuff. I got to move on. But one person stated, listen to this. Here's what's so unique about this. Despite its short history, it's what? Tiny size. Okay, its turbulent political situation, Israel has produced a staggering number of remarkable inventions and innovations, from technology to defense to agriculture, TV shows. Israel is home to some of the world's most brilliant minds, and by what now is well known as, what's the words there? I love that. Startup nations. Leader of startup nations. You know what God calls that? He uses a different phrase. They would be a light unto the nations, and that was prophesied 2,800 years ago, okay? In fact, this kind of technology, a lot of people are saying, and Israel just blessing the world with all this other stuff, they're saying, man, is this another prophecy that God spoke about Israel coming to pass? And that's from Zechariah 8:23 says this, thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, listen, 10 men, where? From all the nations will grasp the garment of the Jew, saying what? Let us go with you. Why? For we have heard that God is with you. Let me give you the Crone translation. Hey, we want to stick with the Jewish people. Why? Because they got the best stuff. They come up with the best inventions. They've got God's blessing all over them. And if you hang with them, it's going to be good. I don't know. That seems to be coming to pass as well. Okay. And again, this information, guys, is not here to go, wow, that's incredible. Or for you to sit there and go, man, praise God, I could finally feel secure about signing up to be on Jeopardy, because I was always scared they were going to ask me who invented the cherry tomato, and I just never knew, but now I know. This is not why I'm sharing this with you. Let's go back to the prophet Isaiah. What'd he say? All this is what? This is a major mega sign from God. You are living in the last days, because little bitty, tiny, seemingly insignificant Israel, for no reason at all, defies all the odds, is blessing the planet, exactly like God said. Let's take a look at this.
Israel is the 100th smallest country on the globe and has about 1/1000th of the world's population. It's only 70 years old, smaller than New Jersey, surrounded by enemies, under constant threat of survival, and possesses few natural resources. And yet, Israel is the only country in history to have revived an unspoken language. Since its founding, Israel has won the second highest number of Nobel Prizes per capita. Although the Jewish people are only 0.2% of the world population, Jews have received 22% of Nobel Prizes, constituting an inexplicable 11,250% above the statistical probability. Israel is the only country that entered the 21st century with a net gain in its number of trees. Even more remarkable, in an area that's mainly desert. Over 90% of Israeli homes use solar energy for hot water, the highest percentage of any country. Israeli companies are building the largest solar energy production facility in the world. Israel operates the world's largest desalination plant and is the number one country providing usable water from seawater. Israel's scientific research institutions are ranked third in the world and are ranked two in space sciences. Israel leads the world in medical patents and has revolutionized modern medicine. Oramed is changing the diabetes therapeutic paradigm by delivering insulin in a pill. ReWalk's exoskeleton allows paraplegics to walk. Orcam allows blind people to virtually see. Israel has more patents registered in the U.S. than Russia, India, and China combined, who have 300 times Israel's population. Israel's innovations have improved the way we work, print, drive, read, eat, drink, talk.
exercise, and even play. Israel is the only liberal democracy in the Middle East, and its third largest party is often the Arab Party. Israel has provided humanitarian aid and rescue services to over 140 countries, even to some that refuse to recognize it, like Syria and Lebanon. Israel is the third most educated country in the world, according to the OECD. Israel has the world's second highest number of new books per capita. Israel has the third highest rate of entrepreneurship among women in the world. And in 1969, Israel elected Golda Meir, the second female head of state in modern history. In proportion to its population, Israel has the largest number of high-tech startup companies in the world. In absolute numbers, Israel has more startups than any other country except the U.S. and China. Israel is the only country whose indigenous population returned to its native land after 2,000 years of forced exile. There are 26 official Muslim states in the world and 18 official Christian states, but there is only one Jewish state. Israel, a small place making a big difference.
I wonder why. Why are they defying the odds? How could this be happening? In 70 years, a short amount of time. Well, I got a theory and it goes like this. It's almost like God predicted nearly 2,800 years ago through the prophet Isaiah that, believe it or not, they're going to be a light to the whole world. Folks, this is happening before our very eyes. This is a major mega sign from God that we better get motivated, okay? But let me give you just one more before we close. The 10th one that we're going to take a look at, how do you know that you're living the last days? Specifically, what's going on with the Jewish people is they would also have a what? A powerful military, and boy, do they ever, okay? But that's another thing that God said, this little teeny tiny place, you don't want to mess with, okay? And this is what we see here, again, in Zechariah 12:6 says this, God speaking, on that day, I will make the leaders of Judah like a fire pot in a wood pile, right? Like a flaming torch among the sheaves. Hey, if you had a dry wheat field and you ran there with the torch, what's going to happen? Boom is the key word there. It's going to go up in smoke quick. They will, ooh, I love this word. They will consume right and left all the surrounding peoples, but Jerusalem will remain intact in her place, okay? And so basically, this is another amazing prophecy about Israel in the last days. It has to do basically with their military strength, their military might, their military in general, and what they're able to do. And apparently God says is that even though Israel is going to be teensy, and is, in comparison to the rest of the world, nonetheless, in the last days, they are not just going to have a powerful military, but one thing you don't want to do is do not go up against them. Why? Because that's the Hebrew word there, consume. He says they're not just going to put up a fight. He says what? They will consume you. Now look that up, and that's a cool word in the Hebrew. It's very graphic. It's a call, and it means this, to eat, to devour, to burn up, to destroy, is literally what it's talking about there in the last days. Hence, they're going to have this powerful military that consumes their enemies in a big, major, mighty way, okay? And boy, has that ever happened and has been the case with the Jewish people. You look at the history of what's going on with their country, you come against them, what's going to happen? you're going to be taken out in a big time. Outnumbered and against all odds, the Israeli forces have astounded the world with their victories over and over and over and over again. Okay? And in fact, who's got the time? 5? Are you serious? And you know what we're going to do next week? Next week, what we're going to do, because I got so much on this, man, I don't want to rush it, okay? We're going to deal with their military as well, okay? But the point is this, folks, the point is this. We've already seen the one major mega sign that's going on there today. Israel is a light unto the nations. Against all odds, they are defying the odds. Israel is blessing the planet. That's a sign from God that we're in the last days. And so what does that mean, church? We've seen before that when the 7-year tribulation begins, is the church there? No, we're gone at the rapture. Praise God, right? But what happens with Israel? God's eyesight, if you will, his attention goes back to Israel, okay? And so we see all these signs that are going to culminate into the 7-year tribulation, leading Israel to become that focal piece again. What does that mean for you and I, the church? We don't know the day nor the hour, but man, it's got to be getting close. The rapture, which happens prior. So the point for you and I is, it's not a time to be fearful. It's a time to be what? Faithful. right? And plus, the rapture is a good thing. I don't know if you noticed that. Ryan and Sarah, you've been at least married for a week. Okay, so you got that over with. Okay, but listen, when the rapture happens, where are we going? We're going to heaven. That's the best case scenario, right? Which could happen at any time. We're up in heaven while the seven-year tribulation is going on. We come back with Jesus at the second coming, Revelation chapter 19. And then we get to be a part of establishing basically the Garden of Eden-like conditions in the millennial kingdom with Jesus Christ ruling and reigning on earth for 1,000 years. That's awesome. That's our future. And it could happen today. But the point is, we got that. Praise God. But there's people all around us who don't have that. And you know what they're flirting with? They're not flirting with the rapture because they're not saved. They're not going at the rapture. They're flirting with the seven-year tribulation, the worst time in the history of mankind. So our job is to lovingly tell them about Jesus, amen, so that they can escape and be snatched up, is what the word rapture means. Harpazo, away is the bride of Christ before it's too late. And they can. It's just through Jesus. But again, that's our part. But if you're here today, I don't know your heart, but God does. You can fool me, but you can't fool God. If you're not really a true born-again Christian, you need to get saved today. Call upon the name of Jesus Christ. This is not a game. Why do you think God has you here? Do you think this is by chance? We talked about odds today. Don't think so. He has you here because he's trying to get your attention to say, this is real. I predicted this 2,700, 2,800 years ago so that you could realize time is running out. And you don't have to be a part of the seven-year tribulation. You don't have to go to hell. You could today accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and escape the penalty for our sins. Amen? Take the way out today. Let's pray.
Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you enjoyed today's study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. Are you sure that if you were to die today that you go to heaven and not hell? Now, before you answer that, let me share with you a couple things that the Bible says. The Bible says that God is holy and that we are not. And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. We don't deserve to go to heaven when we die. We deserve to go down. We deserve to go to hell. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this problem that we have, that we're separated from God not only now, but we're going to be separated from Him for all eternity in a place called hell. We don't even want to admit that. So, once again, out of love, God gives us what's called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were God's X-ray, if you will, divine X-ray to get us to admit the problem that we have inside that's separating us from Him. Let's take a look at a few of those, of God's divine X-ray. For instance, if you think that you're worthy on your own, you don't need a Savior, you're going to get to heaven all by yourself, then let's take a look at God's test there, the Ten Commandments. The ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That means lying. How many of you have ever told a lie before? Raise your hand. Okay. If you didn't raise your hand, you just told one. But folks, we've all done that. That makes us a liar. The Ten Commandments, God's X-ray, showing us that we have sin that's separating us from Him. We're not holy and perfect like Him. The fifth commandment says this, you shall not steal. Don't ever once take anything without permission. How many of you have ever done that? Well, if we're not going to tell another lie, we should all admit that as well. Well, that makes us a thief now. The Bible says that God is so holy, even His name is holy. And that's why the Ten Commandments says you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. And if we're honest again, folks, hey, a lot of us, how many of us have used the blessed name of Jesus Christ, the only name the Bible says under heaven that men might be saved? We've now turned it into a common cuss word, if you can believe that. The Bible says that's the sin of blasphemy. The Bible also says, hey, you want to show God you're so perfect, you have no sin, then don't ever once commit adultery. And you might say, well, I've never done that, really? Jesus lays the standard before us. God looks at the heart. Man looks on the outside. Jesus said, if you ever looked with lust in your eye at another person, you've committed adultery in your heart. That's His holy standard. One more. The Bible says, okay, you think you're so good? Then don't ever once commit murder. You shall not murder. And you might say, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? The Bible again says that the sin of hatred, wishing someone was dead, is akin to the sin of murder. It's just, if you will, you pull the trigger in your heart. So how are you doing? That's just 5 out of 10 of God's divine X-ray, by the way, showing us the problem. How are you doing? Not if, but when your time comes, we're all going to stand before God. You will be forced to admit what He already knows. Hey, God, let me in. Let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer, an adulterer, and a murderer. And the Bible is clear. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You're not headed to heaven in that state. You're headed to hell. But here's the good news. God said if we would just admit this, number one, then he could fix it. And it gets fixed only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the life, and the truth, and nobody comes to the Father but by me. Why? Because only Jesus lived the perfect life in our place. And Jesus died on the cross. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be set free. And since we weren't there, and since it's a gift and we can't earn it, we have to receive that wonderful gift by faith. And the Bible says God will pardon us for our crimes, our sins, against him. And you could actually see this analogy working in the natural, in the normal world. We see this actually in the courtroom. For instance, if a person is guilty and everybody knows they're guilty, they've committed a horrible crime and the sentence has passed, the judge has knocked down the gavel and says, hey, you are going to jail, you are going to the death penalty for that crime. And we know that people, that happens all the time, and they go to jail. But believe it or not, did you know there's a way for that person, even though they're guilty, to actually be set free from that crime? It's called a pardon. And the one in authority, the governor, has the pardon out of mercy, out of goodness. Certainly nothing that that person did in jail. They can't undo the crime. It's too late. But out of mercy, the governor could go down there and grant that person in jail a full pardon for their crimes. And by receiving that pardon, the doors come open and they are set free and they're rescued from the death penalty. Folks, that's what God is doing every single day with us spiritually. He has allowed his son Jesus Christ to take the death penalty in our place. He's pardoned us, but a pardon does you no good unless you reach out and receive it. And it's actually been on historical record that there have been people on death row who a governor has gone down out of mercy and extends to them a full pardon, but they've rejected it. And by their own doing, they went to the death penalty. Folks, don't make that same mistake for all eternity. God loves you. He's willing to forgive you of anything and everything you've ever done, all of it, even the sins we don't even know about. He wants to pardon you and forgive you, but you must receive that by faith today. The Bible says if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you call upon his name, ask him to forgive you of all your sins, believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Please do that now. Please do that today, because tomorrow may be too late. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. Again, thank you for joining us. If there's anything that you need, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our information and number and things will pop up here on the screen here shortly. And remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.